This is the lovely Agnetha Faustrog. Hopefully I pronounced her name correctly. She didn't pronounce mine correctly anyway, so who cares? I am with the wonderful Dr. Raj from Lully's Pharmacy. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello. Good afternoon. Yes, very good. Thank you.
It's good
very
to good. See you. We haven't seen you for some time now. Obviously, certain things got in the way. So
yes.
Let's just talk about you first of all, if we can, Dr. Raj. When did it first start with you and Lully's and becoming a GP?
Oh, yes. So in terms of becoming a GP, so went through all my training at med school between 2002 to 2007. So I studied at Bartholomew Hospital in London. And then after that, you have to do your junior doctor years where I've worked at different hospitals, including Queen Alexandra in Portsmouth. And then after that, sort of you train to become a GP or whatever specialism you want to go into. So I decided to become a GP. That in itself is 3 years. And then I've been a GP partner in a surgery, not in Portsmouth, it was in Petersfield for nearly 10 years. So that has been my sort of GP journey so far. And in terms of Lally's, so my parents are both pharmacists. They've been encompassed with the pharmacy world and Lally's in Portsmouth for nearly 40 years now. And I've got more involved over recent years as they are essentially more or less semi-retired.
Your mum is one of the loveliest people. Mrs. Lally, you go wherever you go, people always say, when she's come onto the radio, we say, I love Mrs. Lally. She's absolutely lovely.
Yes.
They've created a really good customer service-based business that they were really purely focused on dealing with the customer and finding out about the customer rather than just sort of going, thanks so much, dude, that's £4.99 or that's £5.99. They're real strong believers, aren't they, in being leaving in the customers. How important is it for you as well?
It's very important. Healthcare has to be patient, customer, individually sort of focused. If it doesn't, then that's when we lose that connection with the individual, with the patient. So something that they've always instilled, just because they've been embedded in the community, has always been to get to know the community. So if I go to Cascades with my mum and I'm walking down the street, it's not unusual for her to be stopped every 20 seconds because of she knows this person, and I'm just there on the sidelines. But that's just a testament to herself in how she will always engage with people. And I think anyone really in healthcare, that is where you get the enjoyment. That is how you get really involved with individuals, with families, in terms of their health itself. So that's what she does, and even my father as well.
And I suppose that's where the passion comes from. Obviously, watching your mum and dad and how they've built up their business and dealing within the healthcare profession. So is that one of the sparks for you, and where did it first start?
Yes, it is. I was sort of, I wouldn't say forced, maybe that's the wrong word, but let's just use that one, because...
They're lovely parents, by the way.
By the nature of how things were, and I know it was sort of difficult for them in the early days and childcare and all those sort of things, so a lot of my life used to be in the pharmacy, where there was just no other option for them. So it was all that I saw. And I think from that, I saw the GP aspect. And a lot of the time, people don't necessarily want to be exactly what their parents are. So that's probably what I ended up doing. So I didn't want to exactly be a pharmacist myself, and then chose general practice. But like in primary care, all these sort of things are very similar in nature. So that's how I think I got the love for healthcare, sort of through them, definitely. But maybe something slightly different in terms of profession.
Yeah. With the regards to, and obviously working in and around the healthcare service, it's been an interesting 3-4 years that's happened. How has it been for you guys?
It has been very interesting. I mean, when you said the last 3-4 years, I just had little flashbacks that were just coming up in my in my head. It has been tough. Personally, it's been tough in general practice. But it's also been very tough in the pharmacy world where I've sort of been involved. I mean, we all remember those sort of difficult COVID times where everything shut down. One of the areas of industries, if you're going to call it that, or certainly the healthcare system part for pharmacies, was remain doors open. So I remembered even at that time of lockdown, we were putting down stickers on the floor. We were trying to source glass sort of protection places on the counters, and essentially making it up as we went along, just because some of that sort of general advice that sort of came from sort of high up just took a bit of time to filter down, and it was a place you just couldn't close. You have to clearly be open. So it was tough, but you know, the staff we had, everyone within the health service really sort of knuckled down and just got on with what you had to do. It's interesting, you just go into an automatic mode. You don't even think about it until you sort of reflect back on it, and that's sort of, you know, what I'm doing now as well.
Absolutely, yeah. It's amazing how adaptive we can be with regards to business in life, isn't it? And I suppose you being on the front line, it was easy for me. I just came in here, didn't see anybody for like 2 years. It was lovely. They didn't see me. Everyone was happy. But obviously you were still providing the service and front line. So how was it, that kind of period for you?
Yes, it was. So there were certainly scary moments, because if you remember at the very early stages, we didn't really know what COVID was. Mm. So we were all seeing the images from sort of parts of Europe or in China, and it was clearly quite frightening. So from a personal perspective, I remember with my parents, who were sort of in that age bracket where we'd certainly worry for them, it was a genuine worry. But at the same time, you have to keep things going. So we had to keep clearly the pharmacy going. I still had to work in general practice. So you go into that sort of automatic mode at that time, and you just try your hardest. So it was difficult. But I think also for us, our lives didn't change a huge amount, because if you reflect back, we were still able to travel to work. We were still able to go to a petrol station, you know, all these sort of things, whereas everyone else's lives, they had to sort of essentially stay at home. So for us, almost to go out and about was okay, as long as we got over that sort of initial fear element that was there for certain people.
I think I was more worried about we had passes. We were allowed to travel. We got these, you know, they've gone from the government website, and we were allowed to be registered and all the rest of it.
Yes.
Legally, I was registered this time. So it was nice. I had all this paperwork. So I got stopped by the police. I could just show them this, and they would let me come in. So it was quite exciting. I felt like a bit like a spy.
It was, yes, yeah. And there were different things. I remember, was it the supermarkets, sort of NHS workers could sort of go ahead of the queue. That was more of an issue in the early days. Remember when we all needed our toilet rolls? And it was like, right, I need to go in front of the queue there, those sort of things. It did settle down eventually, didn't it? So, yeah, there was that initial bit that was there. And, you know, society in general, we all just sort of saw what the new normal was at that moment. There was that initial chaos for that first 1 or 2 weeks with how we were trying to live. But eventually it did sort of settle down. Definitely.
Brilliant. Listen, we've got more from Dr. Raj, including a couple of questions as well. And if you'd like to talk to Dr. Raj, if you've got any kind of ailments and you're thinking, well, I'll ask him about this, because people, one of the third things they talk about when we were talking about, we got Dr. Raj coming on, was about waiting times and how their health has been affected. We've got more from Dr. Raj after this. So young with your dear father, Dr. Raj.
Yes.
And his new grey hair.
Yes, his new grey hair. A lot of people have... It's been a big debate among staff and patients and customers. Most people seem to like it. Certainly, my children don't, and they let him know that.
They're always honest.
Indeed, they are honest.
But listen, since you were last in, you've opened up more stores for Lally's Pharmacy. How did this come about? And how, you know, a lot of people sort of, I dealt in retail for some years, working for Nike and other sports companies, so I sort of got a rough idea about the mechanics of opening up new stores. Where are your new stores? Have you still got the existing stores? And how difficult is it to sort of establish Lally's in different areas?
Yes, so our existing stores are still there. So Guildhall Walk, London Road, Kingston Road and Fawcett Road were the four that we've had for many a number of years. We now have new stores at Somers Road, Pompey Centre, Milton Road and slightly outside of Portsmouth with Cosham, Hayling Island and Gosport. The new ones were the last six I just mentioned. How have they come about? People may have seen that some of the well-known brands have become a bit less prevalent on the high street. There are reasons for that. Certainly on the NHS, funding restrictions, all those sort of elements have come into play. If we think of pharmacies, they are essentially, the NHS contracts are really quite important for them.
Yeah.
There are other aspects like retail, those sort of things, but clearly the NHS contracts are the most important. So with those sort of funding streams changing, some of the bigger outlets are probably finding it more difficult to remain sustainable. So we have consciously tried to look at those as opportunities to acquire those pharmacies as and when we can. Because we're fully embedded in Portsmouth, that has sort of given us that license to do that. So I would think and I would hope we understand the local system quite well, and that's where having those sort of pharmacies for us has sort of helped. And almost each of our pharmacies, in essence, sort of helping each other. What our goal is to create a sort of a mini network in our area with Portsmouth and some of the surrounding areas. So that's how we sort of achieved it in many ways.
Yeah, and again, I know that the family ethics are real about supporting your employees, aren't they, and developing your employees as best as possible. So how do you get to a new store and lally the staff, if we can call them the lally effect?
I like that terminology.
See, once every 5 years I'll get something right and people will like it. Once every 5 years, that's it, I'm done.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I suppose it's like with any businesses, it's same with healthcare. You want to ensure the culture we approached with our other four pharmacies we had originally can slowly become embedded in our newer ones. Now that takes time, because some of the staff that we would have inherited are going to take time to get used to our way of working. So often that in itself is just a bit of a process. We will often put staff that we've originally had to go into those branches and just sort of help them in the way that we have approach things from a Lally's Pharmacy perspective. But then there's always opportunities for new staff, so we're always looking for new staff members, whether it be an assistant in the pharmacy, whether it be dispensers. We also have an automation sort of hub site, so we do a lot of dispensing through automation, so that in its own way is a whole new way of working, essentially like a new workforce. So we're always looking for new people in those sort of areas. So if anyone is sort of thinking for us or even wider NHS, there are always sort of these sort of positions around.
Yeah. And how long does it take to sort of test or to, you know, you said you've got a variety of different positions available. What kind of positions can people apply for now?
So they can apply straight away. So we'll have on our website, larleyspharmacy.co.uk, if you go on there, we've got a careers bit and you can just go on that in itself. There are other sort of job sites that people can sort of access and often see sort of our name out there. So that's normally the best way. And if you want to go old school, sometimes just pop into the branch and say, are any positions available? And most people say yes in our branches.
Again, what's the website if people want to find out more?
So it is www.larleyspharmacy.co.uk.
It's as easy as that. Right, we're going to ask some questions very, very soon. More from Dr. Raj after this.
Local radio for Portsmouth.
This is Express FM.
This is Express. It's Friday afternoon. It is 25 minutes to 5 o'clock. I'm joined in the studio by the wonderful Dr. Raj from Lally's Pharmacy. We were talking about the break of and building up about COVID and what you went through and building the business.
Yes.
There is an elephant in the room that we need to talk about, because we did ask people to fire their questions at you. The overwhelming question we got was about waiting times to see GPs.
Yes.
I'm going to ask you why, and again, why is it so long? What can people do?
Yes, it's that is a tough sort of question to answer, because there's probably many facets that contribute to that. I mean, if we're going to be sort of open and honest, I think that the healthcare system is certainly under stress. We see that in the news. We see that everywhere. Why is it under stress? I think there are many different factors that contribute to that. So we can't ignore we've also gone through a pandemic. That was essentially work, if we're going to put it that way, or healthcare work that wasn't there. And there are sort of other factors that have come into play. So whether it be health, our health is getting more complicated. So if we're sort of thinking these days, you know, if we're slightly older, we might be on more medications potentially. What does that require? That requires more monitoring. It requires more checks. All these sort of things come into play, whereas if we compare that to a number of years ago, maybe that wasn't quite the factor. So me, with my GP hat on, certainly I know whilst patients clearly want sort of access into the surgery, sometimes in the background I'm going to have to look at a number of letters, I'm going to have to look at a number of blood results. Often those blood results have got things that I need to act upon. So all these sort of things have implications. It's going to need time to do that work. We are finding ways. There are ways that we are trying to find, which is sort of coming from a national level, where we can have other type of staff that can help with that, not just GPs.
Yeah.
But that, when you have a change to a system, that's going to take a bit of time to embed, and it's going to take time for even those surgeries to train up those staff and get used to that new system. So it's an evolving process. I don't think the healthcare strains are just happening here in this city, in this country. I think it's a worldwide issue, but it's ongoing, and it's trying to find solutions to it each time.
Technology-wise, I mean, things are developing fast and furious. Obviously, you mentioned the magic word, time.
Yes.
How difficult is it to manage your time? And I'm kind of thinking, when I go and see a doctor, I try and be out there as fast as possible. Other people need a lot more, you know, care and attention, and building up that customer relationship, because that's, you know, at the end of the day, you're in healthcare, you want to care about your patients. So is time a factor?
Time is a factor. So there can be certain conditions in medicine which you can deal with quite quickly. So whether it be a sore ear or a sore throat or, you know, a sprained ankle, those type of things can be relatively quick. But I might have a frailer, more elderly patient, for example, or someone with more complex healthcare needs that can't be quick. I'm going to have to take time. That can take 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour sometimes. So, and that will have an effect on the rest of the day. So there can be those type of factors that sort of come into play. And that's where time is a very difficult thing to just sort of say, okay, this patient will take this time, this patient will take that time. Each condition, each presentation is different in general practice.
Right. Well, you're still smiling, so it's all good there, Dr. Raj.
Yes.
Listen, what we're going to do, we're going to break for another song, then we're going to do some travel. We'll come back with the final piece on Dr. Raj. We're talking about flu jabs and COVID jabs. Again, the website, if you want to find out more, please, Dr. Raj.
So that is www.lalispharmacy.co.uk.
This is, we were laughing there, it's quite appropriate. Dead or alive, we're talking to Dr. Raj, you spin me right round. You do, Dr. Raj, you spin me right round like a record. What can
yes.
I say?
Oh,
it's the
you.
Effect you've had on me.
Yes.
Right, we're in flu season.
We are.
And there's a lot of people I know are suffering from the dreaded COVID. It seems to be making a comeback. What sort of experiences, obviously, we were talking about what it was like to deal with COVID, but the modern-day COVID, is it a new strain, or what are we looking at?
Yes, so when we think of viruses, they're constantly evolving, so new strains are not unusual. So that's always happened with flu every season, every year. So whenever we have our flu jabs, they're always adapting the flu jab for each year. Mm. So in essence, the very clever scientists and the drug makers that get involved with that are almost anticipating what's going to happen the following year based on when they look at the biology of how viruses are developing. So flu jabs are a must, because that is all done to sort of reduce the sort of incidence and prevalence of things like flu. Going back to your question regarding COVID, if we do get COVID now, hopefully, we're all getting much more milder symptoms, which is because of how the virus has developed and adapted. Because what viruses want to do, we don't want to get too technical, but essentially, virus wants to survive. It doesn't want to just not replicate. It wants to keep replicating. And the only way it's going to do that, in essence, is to give people milder symptoms in many ways. But a combination of population immunity, so when we've all had COVID, as well as the vaccination program, so we've all had a number of COVID boosters, those sort of things, which is certainly needed when you've got a new disease, has helped in terms of dealing with less severe cases. So now we're not really hearing of really severe cases. They still do happen.
Yeah.
That's why it's still important for us to keep on top of the vaccination program. But generally, people hopefully should be getting more milder symptoms compared to when it was a real problem 2-3 years ago.
It seems that a lot of people, I don't know whether it's just me, but you seem to think, oh, that was a few years ago, we haven't got to worry about it now. But then again, it seems I'm hearing a lot more people who actually complain or actually say, "No, I'm suffering from COVID."
Yes, I think we should still always take these things very seriously. So particularly with the COVID vaccination program. So if you're 65 years and over, or if you're under 65 with other healthcare conditions, it's really important to go and get your COVID booster for this winter. Mm. So you can book that through the National Booking System site, or your GP surgery may have appointments with it as well. So even in our pharmacies, we're doing COVID vaccination in a number of pharmacies. And then at the same time, flu jabs will also be offered. So people may choose to have both jabs at the same time, which is fine. Or some people may prefer to have a bit of a gap in between. So generally having both the jabs, I'm going to have it myself as well this year, because as a healthcare worker on the front line,
we're waiting to jab you right now, so we're better hurry.
Yes, it's your shaky hands that would worry me a little bit, but
I'm sure we can get past that. We're roughly, yeah.
Yes.
There is this older thing, you know, a lot of people sort of say, you know, if I've had the flu jab, I'm going to get the flu.
No, it's not going to happen. So what we're trying to do, when you have any sort of vaccine, and each vaccines can act in different ways. It was interesting how when the COVID vaccine was developed, how we all suddenly became very knowledgeable about how the vaccine works. We all wanted this brand and that brand, and I don't want that vaccine because it will do that. But if you think about sort of flu, I don't think everyone ever really knew what brand they were going to have. But generally, what a vaccine is supposed to do, and this is even when we're younger and we have vaccines, so we want that disease to no longer be a problem or really be minimized. So vaccines are supposed to create an immune response, and sometimes that immune response that our body gets makes us feel a little bit unwell. So whether it's a bit of a fever or a bit achy, that's not unusual. So it is something we can expect. So, but people often say, oh, I've had the flu, or, you know, I've had almost like COVID symptoms after having that jab. But you're not actually getting active disease of that. It's your immune response. Your immune system is almost responding as if you might get it. So it's almost like a milder response. But it'll be far better than getting actual flu or actual COVID.
Yeah. My last question came from a listener. They were talking about diets, and what would you recommend as regards to diets and COVID? Is there a way that you'd say, oh, eat more fruit or eat more, you know, protein or anything like this? What would you recommend
for diets in relation to COVID?
Yeah.
I think the main thing, like with anything, is to have a well-balanced sort of healthy diet. So it's I think it's cutting out the things that we sort of know we shouldn't eat too much of. So I wouldn't say have too much red meat. I'd really sort of limit that and make that sort of only on occasions, making sure you're having enough fruits and veg with that, making sure we keep hydrated. That's often something, especially when we're busy, we sort of ignore. Don't overindulge in certain things. So don't drink too much sort of caffeinated drinks or coffee, alcohol, all those sort of things. We've just got to be limited on, and then have healthy lifestyle in other ways. So the obvious ones like smoking, we should really not be smoking. So if you can stop those things, it's really important. So I think as long as we have a well-balanced diet, that's the most important thing. And in winter months, when there are viruses around like flu and COVID, that will then stand you in good stead for your immune system to sort those conditions out.
Right, so it's best that you start doing it now, getting ready for the cold winter that's going to be...
100%, 100%.
Listen, it's been a pleasure to talk to you, Dr. Raj. Thank you so much indeed. Again, if people want to book their flu jabs, their COVID jabs, or come and see you and realise what a hunk you are, sir, what's the website they can go to?
So if they go on www.larleyspharmacy.co.uk.
And I was very good, because I didn't mention the fact that you're a Love Island fan. At no point did I actually say that. I've been very, very good, OK? Dr. Raj, thank you so much indeed.
Thank you.
Express FM.